Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Thank you, Brandon, for preaching my absence. This church I was at had three services, two in the morning and one in the evening. And in the morning services, I opened with a story about Kobe Bryant, and I shared about how he pursued greatness. He worked hard, he was disciplined, he pushed himself. And after both services, and then I shared about how we can pursue greatness in God's eyes. It's one thing to be great in the world's eyes, but to be great in God's eyes. We had lunch with a pastor and his family and a few other guests, and then afterwards, we went back to the hotel where I decided to just get some rest before the evening service. And as I was getting ready to take a quick nap, I looked at my phone, scrolled through Twitter, and found that there was a story that someone had retweeted that Kobe Bryant had died in a helicopter crash. And like many of you all, I thought it was fake news. I'm like, that's impossible. Like, so I just kept scrolling, turned off my phone, took a nap, and I woke up to check Twitter again. And now CNN and ESPN and other legitimate news sources had begun reporting that he did indeed die in a helicopter crash. Then I checked my phone, and there were dozens and dozens of texts from other NBA chaplains across the U.S., and we were discussing and praying for the family and praying for all nine people who were lost in the crash, and praying for Ramel Witherspoon, the chaplain for the Lakers. And then I also had a text from the pastor of the church I was preaching at, and the text simply said, hey, you might want to change your opening introduction for the 5 o'clock service, obviously because of the tragedy that was there. A few days later, some of the other chaplains were going back and forth, and a video appeared. I was shared where Stephen A. Smith is interviewing Kobe Bryant after his rape trial, in which he utters, you know, how do you get through this? And he says, God is great. And he said, if you've ever been there where you can't carry your own cross and God has to carry it for you, like you wouldn't understand what it means that God is great. And then we also got a report that he had gone to Catholic Mass right before the helicopter trip, and he had taken communion, and they interviewed the priest who was at that Catholic church. But here's the question that's there, apart from, you know, how is his family doing and how are the L.A. community doing? I'm thankful that he was a great dad, it seemed like, and a great husband. But the question is, had he put his faith in Christ? That's the question. You can go to church, you can be religious, you can make multi-million dollars, you can be famous, you can be one of the greatest basketball players in the world, but the question is, had he placed his faith in Jesus Christ? And so what I want to look at today is how faith in Christ, or Christ is the greatest gift, from Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, why is that question, what have you done with Christ, or have you put your faith in Christ? Why is it the most important question, and why is Jesus Christ the greatest gift? And in the 7 minutes I have to preach, I will hopefully get that across from the Word today. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 23. For everyone has sinned, all have sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So here's point number one. The bad news is that we have sinned and missed God's standard of perfection. But the good news, we'll read in verses 24 through 26, is that God's grace freely makes us right in His sight. So the word grace. And if you have an opportunity, you don't have to do it now, but in your own time, here's the central theme of this passage, is the word faith or belief or believes. So underline those words, faith or believe or believe. So he says in verse 24, yet God with undeserved kindness or by grace declared that we are righteous. That word declared we are righteous is the word justification, which means to now be, it's a legal term, to be declared innocent, to be acquitted of all charges. So you and I are still wicked and evil. We do sinful things. But because of Christ, if we have put our faith in Christ, God now sees us as perfect. We've been justified. And here's a very corny rhyme, and I know I'm a dad, so I can tell these dad jokes. Justified, God looks at you, justified had never sinned. All right, justified never sinned. All right, that's justified. God now declares you as righteous, not because you are righteous in and of yourself, but because of Jesus Christ. Verse 24 in the middle. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they, underline that word, believe Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who had sinned in times past. For he's looking ahead, including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and declares sinners to be right in his sight when they, what? Believe in Jesus. So, here's again, point number one, it's God's grace. God's grace, this undeserved, unmerited kindness. He says here, again, the argument between the Jews and the Gentiles, who's more righteous, Jews or Gentiles? And he says in verse 23, for all have sinned, and we all fall short of God's revealed righteousness. We all fall short of that. So here's a story that I shared in the first service. I got a very touching text message from Matt Barnes, one of our deacons yesterday. And so I'm going to use Matt as an illustration this morning. So imagine if Matt and I are both working for the same company. And the CEO says to us, guys, if you don't have $1 million in sales by the end of this month in February, February 1st to February 29th, it's a leap year, you have an extra day. $1 million in sales, you're going to get fired. So we come to the 29th. We're there in the CEO's office, myself and Matt Barnes, and we have worked hard to try to sell. And so then we're both sweating bullets as the totals come up, and it's discovered that I have sold $999,999.99 worth of product. Next, Matt comes up and he gets his rung up, and it's discovered that he's only sold 99 cents worth of products. The CEO again says, reminding us, hey, the goal was $1 million, and if you don't get $1 million, you're going to be fired. Because of that, even though I fell 1 cent short and Matt fell $999,999.01 short, both of us are going to make the same exact call that afternoon to our wives, that we both got fired. And that's what he's saying here, is that all of us fall short of God's standard. Now, here's the thing. I know we are often very pious and self-righteous, and God has a standard called perfection. And we think, you know, we get pretty close to that. But here's just some news for y'all. We're more on the 99-cent side than the $999 side, all right? But he says this in verse 21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses. He says in verse 19 and 20, the purpose of the law is a mirror to show us how we fall short of God's standard, where we mess up. Verse 22, we're made right with God by placing, there's that word again, our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Underline that word faith and believes, whether you're Jew or Gentile, black or white, rich or poor, millionaire, trillionaire, or pauper, he says, the same is true for everyone, that we are saved by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28. He says, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Verse 29, after all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There's only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by, there's that word again, faith, whether they're Jews or Gentiles. So again, point number two is the greatest gift. We are made right in his sight by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We are made right, declared righteous by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. God is angry with our sin, but the word there that's used is the word propitiation. God in Jesus Christ satisfied God's anger. He satisfied God's wrath. And by placing our faith in him, we can be right with God. We can have a relationship with him. He says in verse 31, well then, if we emphasize faith, like we have been, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. The argument here is known as what's called antinomianism. The fact that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, does that mean after that, since you're declared righteous and God sees you as perfect, even though we're not perfect, that now we can live as wicked and evil as we want to? And Paul is saying, absolutely not. He says, now that you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and by his grace, you can live how God wants you to live. So he says, he's not preaching antinomianism. He's saying, now that you have put your faith in Christ, you can walk and live as a follower of Jesus Christ, as God intended you to live. Let me close with this, verse 27. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God, to be declared righteous? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law or by doing good works. It is based on what? Faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. And so none of us in here can boast and brag. And I believe this to the core of my being. Christians, people who put their faith in Jesus Christ, should be the least self-righteous people on the earth. We should be. Because we recognize that it's this amazing exchange that we bring our wickedness and our unrighteousness, and in exchange, as we put our faith in Christ, we receive the entirety of Christ's righteousness. God sees us now as being totally righteous, not because we're self-righteous, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Going back to the analogy I used earlier of Matt Barnes and I, $999,999.99 versus 99 cents, it would be like the CEO saying, all right, both of you have fallen short of the standard. I gave you a standard of $1 million. You have both fallen short. But because I love you so much, I'm a multi-trillionaire, billionaire. I will credit to your account $1 million for both of you if you'll simply receive the gift. And that's what faith is. Faith is not a work, because we're saved apart from works. It's simply your heart receiving the gift, the free gift that Jesus Christ offers. And so again, he says, we can't brag. We can't say, I earned it, I deserved it, I worked hard for it, because it's a gift that he gives us. This last Christmas, my wife and I and our kids decided that rather than buying a bunch of gifts and all that, we decided we're just going to get one gift each. And we set a price limit saying you're going to spend this much. And so on Christmas Day, we decided to spend more on experiences, going to movies and kayaking and all that. And we bought one gift each for every person. The valuation of each gift was exactly the same. So that Christmas morning when we opened the gifts, all of us had gifts that were valued at the exact same. And we recognize that none of us can say, oh, mom and dad must love me more because they gave me a more expensive gift. But they also recognize that it was a gift. They didn't work for it. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. It was a gift that we all gave one another. And at the table of Jesus Christ right here, that's the exact same way. All of us are equal in standing at the foot of the cross. We have a desperate need for salvation. And none of us in here earned it, deserved it, worked for it. And we can't brag and boast saying, you know what, it's because I went to City of Refuge, because I served God, because I did this, because I've been to church and Sunday school since I was 3 years old. None of us can brag and boast and say, I deserved it, I earned it, because it was a gift from God. Why is it called the greatest gift? Let me give you two reasons and then I'll shut up. Number one is this. A gift, usually that's great or important or significant, is because you've met somebody's need. If they had a need, something they really needed, and you were able to meet that need, that makes that a great gift. But here's what makes it the greatest gift. Is if you are able to meet a need for somebody, for something that they could not buy or earn on by themselves. When you meet someone's need, a legitimate need they have, and it's a need that they could not buy, purchase, or get on their own, that's what makes it the greatest need. And so you and I have a need, which is to be forgiven, to be declared righteous by God, to be in a relationship with Him. And none of us in here could work hard enough to earn that gift. And so because of that, I believe it's the greatest gift. So here's the not ashamed principle. We are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And for those of you here who have already put your faith in Christ, and I know many of you have, that's why it's important for us to share the good news with our neighbors and friends. Though they may be moral people, quote, good people, hardworking people, because all of us stand in need, no matter how good we think we are, in the need of this gift of Jesus Christ. But if you have not put your faith in Christ, if you're here today and you are not sure that you are in a relationship with Him and have forgiven for all your sins, I beg you, I plead you that today be the day that you put your faith in Christ and experience forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Here's some questions for your community groups. Number one, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone to make you right with God? Not because you think you're a good person or because you go to church or you're in a community group or you serve or you give, but have you placed your faith in Christ alone? Number two, why do we battle self-righteousness when the Bible teaches we had no righteousness and only received Christ's righteousness as a free gift by faith? And like the challenge that Nikki and I and Brandon have laid out, who is the one not yet Christian you'll pray for every day this year? And have you met with them for a meal yet? I had very intimidating week. I was asked to preach at my alma mater, Dow Seminary. And so there I was in the chapel with many of my former professors. So can you imagine, as a college student or grad student, having to preach to former professors that taught you how to preach in Greek and Hebrew? Is very, very intimidating. And one of my professors there was a guy named Aubrey Malfers, and Aubrey Malfers runs a leadership institute. And I went to one several years ago. Keith Bauer, one of our former elders, worked with the Malfers group, and so I'm on their mailing list. And they have a new initiative. It's kind of like a leadership training university, and it's free. And so one of the employees from Malfers group has been sending me emails for the last month, and it's all about their new free training that they offer. But right now, I just don't have the time. Though I would love to do it, I don't have the time for this free training, but at least twice a week, I get an email from them saying something like, have you taken advantage of this free offer? Every week, probably every other day, I'm getting these emails, and I just hit delete because I just don't have the time for this free offer. Have you taken advantage of this amazing free offer? Delete. Every other day, it seems like I get an email from Scott saying, have you taken advantage of this free offer? And for me, that really won't change my eternal destiny, whether I take advantage of this free offer or not. But Jesus Christ is here today, and he's saying to every one of us, have you taken advantage of, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the free offer of salvation, to have be declared right in God's eyes, to have a relationship with God, to experience eternal life, to have heaven as your home? Have you received the free offer that Jesus Christ offers by faith? Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for Brandon, and just last week how he shared about how we are all spiritually dead, separated from you and without hope. God, we can work and work and try to be good moral people, to help people cross the street, to give and to serve. But God, all those things, still we are falling short of your perfect standard. God, some of us miss it by a lot, and some of us miss it by even further. But God, we all miss the mark of perfection. But thank you, God, that you have sent your perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. And simply by placing our faith in him alone, God, you now look at us as being perfect, as righteous, justified, declared innocent. Again, not because of anything we've done, because you have credited Christ's perfection to our lives. And God, after that, you now give us the opportunity to walk with you and experience the abundant life, to experience eternal life, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent, as it says in John 17:3. God, we look at our world that is spiritually dead and broken. And God, it's a world that is in desperate need for Jesus Christ. God, we live amongst people who are blind and dead. Good as they are, nice as they are, kind as they are. God, we live in a world full of blind and dead people because their sin separates you from you, the source of all life. So God, I pray that the gospel message, the good news, would be on our lips. And good works would be in our hands, God. How can we say, as we looked at James, to someone who's hungry, be warm and be filled, trust Jesus when we're not there to provide them with bread and a meal? So God, I pray that you give us opportunities this week to both proclaim the good news and share the love of Christ in a tangible way with our coworkers, our classmates, our neighbors, God. Because again, apart from Jesus Christ, all of us stand condemned, damned, spiritually dead, and separated from you. And we are grateful that in Christ alone, we can experience eternal life and forgiveness for all of our sins. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.